media members who have just joined the call, just hit star one on your keypad if you have questions for the coaches today, and we'll work those questions in as soon as we can. We now welcome to the call the head coach of the Stony Brook Seawolves, Chuck Priori. Good morning, Coach Priori.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. A tough game for you guys on Saturday up at New Hampshire. So for your first CA loss of the season, 43-14, as you've gone back and looked at that game, just kind of give me your impressions on what happened.
Well, first, congratulations to New Hampshire, and I'm Sean. They obviously played a really solid game, really were able to execute and take advantage of our mistakes. And, you know, sometimes you make mistakes, and if the team's not very good, you get away with it. Obviously, they're a good football team, and we were not able to make the mistakes we made. That being said, you know, you always got to go back and look at the film, and, anytime you hand the team over, basically 14 points, a pick for a touchdown and a kickoff return down close to our goal line, and then have five turnovers, you're probably not going to win the game, and you're probably going to think you really stink. I go back and watch the film, and I did not see that, obviously. I thought, you know, defensively we did what we had to do, too many short fields, and they're a great red zone team. And then, you know, offensively, you know, we made plays in the pass game, which we hadn't been able to make in the first half in the third quarter, and, would have had a chance. But I think New Hampshire's a real good team. They do a great job of taking the run game away from you with numbers and how they fit their run plays. And, you know, they challenge you to throw the ball. And so kudos to them, and we'll get back up and get ready for William & Mary.
You touched on your defense. You hold New Hampshire's offense, which is pretty dynamic, to just 219 yards. Like you said, they were forced or kind of hamstrung a little bit with the short fields. When you've gone back and looked at the defensive effort, did you feel like you executed the game plan that you would have liked to?
Yeah, absolutely. The first half, I mean, it was 15-7. They had one drive. I think they had 60, 70 total yards of offense in the first half. We had the ball for almost 20 minutes. They had it for 10 minutes. New Hampshire scores points. New Hampshire doesn't make mistakes, especially at home. They really take care of the football and take pride in that. And obviously, they're a well-coached team. But defensively, we talked this morning, and as much as statistically we played well, they're probably with three plays in the red zone that we gave them that we have to make plays on that don't allow them to score points. So once again, it's a back and forth effort when you look at it from film, but you got to get back on the field and just play again.
Offensively, you guys have been very effective all year long with your running game. What was New Hampshire able to do to sort of slow you down a little bit on running the game?
Well, you know, once again, that's their defensive philosophy, and it's very similar to our defensive philosophy. And I thought their kids played really hard. I thought they tackled really well. They ran to the football well. We knew going into the game, and if you saw the game in the first half, we knew we were going to have to throw the ball more, and we came out doing that. And maybe that was our mistake. We didn't set the tone physically up front. But you live and learn in this business.
Your quarterback, Joe Carbone, throws for 165 and did throw for a couple of touchdowns, but I know had the four picks. As you've gone back and looked at those plays that on the miscues and his performance, would kind of give me a grade on how you felt like he played.
Well, if I subtracted the four interceptions, which you can't do, I'd probably say it was his best game of the year from a standpoint of, you know, operating the pass game. That being said, those interceptions were costly. Specifically, you know, the first one for a touchdown really just came down to a play that we got to make, and they made, and that kid did a good job on it. So, you know, the pick for a touchdown really I don't see as a problem. There was one later on in the game where he held the ball trying to make a play as opposed to taking what was there, and I think that was the one that broke our back. That gave them their points to get up on us where we weren't able to catch up. So, you know, Rich just said it, you know, we got young quarterback. He's a redshirt sophomore, played some last year. he's learning the game. You got to keep on going with what you think you have and correct the things that are correctable.
And there you touched even way back at Media Day that one of the things since moving in the CA, you have to realize that your team is probably going to take a loss and hit some bumps in the road because the league is so good. How important to leave this behind? You guys are still right in the mix here for a conference title. And what's going to be the message to your team and try to pick the, you know, kind of forget this one and move on?
Well, if I could have signed the contract that I would be 4-1 heading into the William & Mary game, I would have signed it. You know, we had an October where we had four games, three were away. We got two of them. We're able to win the home game we had. And, you know, so I think we sit ourselves in a position of, from a record standpoint in the CAA, where I'm pleased with. Now, that being said, we still have to play better football. And I just got to impress upon our kids that the 4-1 record, where it's good, is really have no... That has no bearing on how the rest of the season is going to go. So we've got to prepare correctly for a good William & Mary team who, you know, once again is a lot better than their record shows, and they will come in here a lot better than their record shows.
That's what I was going to say. 3-5 and 1-4, but they've been in basically every game that they've been in. As you've started to look at them on film, what are going to be some of the keys for your team trying to slow them down and then also get your offense going?
You better first match their physicality that they bring to the table. You don't do that, you won't win. You know, I think they're starting to hit on all cylinders on offense over the last couple of weeks from what I can see. You know, they had a young defensive team going into the season. I think they've had a few injuries based on what I can see. So I think the defense is starting to play better. You watch how they defended James Madison, who we all know is very good. I mean, they did the best job on film I've seen this year of defending what I would call a prolific offensive team. I watched them defend New Hampshire very well defensively. So, you know, I think, you know, once again, Coach will get them righted and they will come here ready to go.
Certainly a number of outstanding running backs in this league, and William & Mary has one of them, and Kendall Anderson, who's put together a string of 100-yard games after dealing with some injuries early in the year. What makes him so difficult to stop?
He's got explosive power. You know, I watched him break several tackles over the last few weeks that, you know, good backs gain plus two off it. He gains plus six, plus eight. So yards after a carry are very, very impressive. And he is, you know, I know he had injuries earlier, but he's very durable because he's the guy that gets the ball all the time for him, and you know, he'll run it 5-6 times in a row, and he's able to bang it in there, and he's better on the fifth carry than he is on the first carry, so he's an impressive player.
All right, Chuck, thanks as always for the time today, and I look forward to talking to you again next Monday.
Thank you.
All right.